Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
Astronauts, to your stations!
Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever, whenever you are listening. This is Chain Wrestling with Mags and Sai, and thank you once again for listening. It is hugely, hugely appreciated. I am Sai, and with me, as always, is the Bree Mode to my Rack Attack, the Bellas to my Jedward, a podcaster that says you can look and maybe actually you can touch if the price is right, Mr. Magsy Mags himself. How are we doing, my friend?
I mean, I am a cheap podcast whore, so you can definitely touch. And the price is, it's negotiable. So
negotiable.
Yeah, I'm doing okay.
Good stuff, mate. Good stuff. How's your week been, buddy? What have you been up to?
Just the same as every other week in this lockdown, counting down the days to being able to get out and breathe actual fresh air. Yeah, just typical work week, podcast weekend, I suppose.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Same boat for me, as always, you know, sort of looking for work. I've had a phone call today about a couple of potential jobs, so that's hopeful there. But it's just, again, as we seem to say every week, my friend, it's just Groundhog Day, isn't it? Every day just blends into one.
It certainly does.
Kind of like the pay-per-views in 2014, to be fair.
that's a segue. It's definitely a segue.
They do kind of blend into one. You know, going back and looking at this match that Wrestling Twitter so kindly voted for us. We'll get to that.
To be fair, it was either this or a clown.
Well, yeah, but that claim,
they made the best decision.
That claim was Matt Bourne's quality. You know, you mean Marty Jannetty being a claim. Yeah, no, I'm 100% on board with Marty Jannetty being a claim, and I've said it once or twice before on the show, and as soon as he's now being brought up in this conversation, I'll say it again. Fuck you, Marty Jannetty. Okay, there's reasons for that. I'm sure one day we'll cover a Jannetty match and I will explain, but there we go.
Hey, let me change my pick then. Well, now I can wangle from the Bellas to my Jannetty in the space of half an hour.
Yeah, maybe. I've had, like I said, pretty much an eventful week as always, mate. Something fairly funny happened earlier on, but funny for everyone else around me, not me. I went and picked my youngest up from school, which is, you know, one of the very few plus points to me not working at the moment and the whole lockdown situation, is that I do get to go and pick Charlie up from school and we walk back together and we have a little chat about her today. Yeah, that's lush. I love doing that. She's getting older, and obviously they all are. They don't get younger, do they?
It'd be very weird if they did.
Yeah. But I mean, she's my youngest. We're not having any more. She's 11 now. She's going up to senior school next year. She's got to that age where she won't hold daddy's hand anymore. She hurt her ankle at PE, and normally it was a case of daddy carry me. But this is the first time I can remember that I've offered to give her a carry and she didn't want to know. Bear in mind, I'm talking, I used to carry her years ago. It's not like I carried her, you know, because she's a big, tall girl now. It's a bit of a different situation, but...
And carry as in, you mean piggyback?
I'd give her a piggyback now, yeah, because she's bigger. But I used to carry her like a little baby when, probably at an age when I should have, she was maybe, you know, a few years older than she should have been. My wife used to moan at me about that all the time, but yeah, it's one of the little plus points of...
Can't be doing me that.
She used to moan at me, put her down, she's not going to, you know... And I'm like, well, you know, she is my baby. She's my youngest. It is the way it is, you know? But picked her up from school earlier, popped in the shop on the way home, thinking I'll grab a few bits and bobs and, you know, sort of thinking something a bit snacky. What shall I have? Oh, I might have a tin of soup or something for later. So I'm stood looking at the different soups, and I said to Charlie, but I didn't realise there was this many people around me in the shop either, by the way. I said, I turn around to Charlie, I'm like, oh, Charlie, what should I get your mum? Does your mum like tomato soup? And Charlie, absolutely deadpan, quick as a flash, just looked at me and said, why are you asking me? You should know this. You've known her longer than I have. And I'm just...
That's brilliant.
And like... But basically, it was like the canned laughter on an episode of Friends or Cheers or something. The whole store just burst into hysterics that I'd been absolutely mugged off by my 11-year-old. And I just kind of stood there wishing that my little COVID mask was bigger to cover up my red cheeks. Because I just basically stood there looking like an absolute fool. So, yeah, thanks to my youngest for that. That was awesome.
Well, I mean, you have to now tell us, what soup did you get?
Oh, I didn't. In the end, I just bought pizza. I didn't have the relevant information, mate. Is that soup that she likes? I'm not going to gamble with that.
I mean, it's an extreme. I didn't want to risk getting you a soup that you didn't like, so I went for pizza.
Yeah.
I mean, did she enjoy the pizza?
Yeah.
Win-win.
It's a pizza, mate, don't they? Do you know what I mean? You know, you're going to be really amazed at me as well, Mags. You're going to be super impressed. I've been doing clever computer stuff this week.
This won't go well.
Brilliant. Thanks for the vote of confidence. I've had a few issues with my laptop, sort of the signal for the Wi-Fi dropping in and out a little bit when I'm home and so on. I can't get any faster. I'm told by my supplier it's as good as it gets and so on. So I looked up a type of cable to use. Is it an Ethernet cable? Is that what it's called?
Ethernet and RJ46.
I don't know about the numbers and letters afterwards, but yeah, Ethernet. Right. So I'm currently got my actual laptop plugged into the internet all on my own. I did that all on my Todd. Didn't have to ask a kid for my help or anything, mate. My kids, I didn't ask.
Did the person on the phone from the internet supplier tell you how to do it?
No. I ordered one online. It arrived. I opened it up. I sorted it out myself. And I'm talking to you right now with my laptop plugged into the wall.
So basically, a machine designed to be portable is now tethered to the wall.
Well, I suppose when you put it like that, it's not.
So what you've done is you've taken essentially what could be classed as a mobile phone and turned it into a landline with your laptop. The same kind of mentality.
Why have you always got to piss on my chips, mate?
No, do you know, I am actually really proud of you for taking the initiative. And I bet your internet speeds are a hell of a lot faster because they just generally are over cable than they are over Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I've not had any problems yet, mate, so it's going all right. And secondly, as we discussed, I think it was at the end of last week's episode, about putting up a spreadsheet and so on and having a look at what scores we've given different stuff and different matches and how the chain has been. So, you know, so we can always trace it back if anyone asks, I guess. I've been knocking that up as well, mate. I'm not quite finished just yet, but I've been knocking that up. So a couple of little funny little stats, I suppose, that have come up in the last, what are we on? This is episode 16 we're recording now, so the previous 15 episodes. You have won 8 votes to my 7, Mags. So marginally
neck and neck. Neck and neck.
And you have won the last 3 in a row. So that's really sort of domination in the recent weeks, my friend.
Well, it also shows that I was way behind. So you took the lead.
Well, yeah, I suppose it does, yeah. Our highest rated is Okada versus Omega 2. Way back on episode 7, Cream Soda Cologne, that episode was entitled, which I believe, what do we give that? You gave that a 9.5, I gave that a 9, and our lowest rating is Sting versus Meng, a Bash at the Beach 95, in the episode entitled Medium Sized Stingers, number 13. We both gave that a 2 out of 10, because it literally shit the bed, didn't it?
It did. we may beat that today, though.
Potentially. And funnily enough, all these different episodes, we do tend to agree quite often on score, which is really surreal for me, considering we don't communicate about this ahead of time. We literally just press record and start talking, don't we?
Yeah.
There's some matches that you've given slightly higher than I. There's other matches that I've given higher than you. We agree on quite a few. Over the last, 15 episodes or whatever, we both average 7.1 in our ratings, Mags. Both of us exactly the same. That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it actually really is. If we've been glad, I mean, you just said then about Kenny and Okada being half a point different in our score. So we must really balance out when it comes to some of the other picks to keep that equilibrium, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah, I find that quite interesting. But then I'm a bit of a geek, so I suppose that, you know, explains that. Oh, very quickly, actually, whilst I think of it, completely changing the subject here, a bit of a swerve in direction. Do you remember Pinky and the Brain, Mags?
I certainly do.
Right, I don't know why this popped in my head earlier. I think I was talking, like I said, I brought Charlie home from school, and that was it. She said, what are we doing tonight? So I naturally responded, same thing we do every night, trying to take over the world. Yeah. Like they did at the beginning of Pinky, and she had no idea what I was talking about. So I found it on YouTube and put it on. And I'm sat there roaring. I'm sat there crying. I thought it was absolutely hysterical. And again, Charlie's just sat there absolutely blank-faced. Like, you know, don't get me wrong, she's going around now singing the song and talking about it and stuff now. But at the time watching it, she was very much just blank-faced and just like, what is this, Dad? This is, you know. I want to go back and watch Annoying Americans on YouTube, Dad. Leave me alone, sort of thing.
Kids these days.
Oh, mate, yeah. I don't know why that just popped in my head then, but I mean, I thought I'd quickly ask you, because I speak to other people, and a lot of people tell me they don't remember Pinky and the Brain. I thought it was a big, big thing.
Yeah, I mean, I remember it. Maybe it was just a sign of that kind of era. Yeah, kids, so they probably don't understand it because they harbour no ambition to take over the world.
No. And they all watch YouTube and TikToks and all that shit now, don't they? Yeah, I've got
exactly.
I went through it after she went upstairs. I got the old cable box thingy up and I had a look through it. And there's 18 kids channels on this cable box, Max. Now, I don't have the cable box specifically for that, but to get other channels that the wife likes, the kids programs are part of that package, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So 18 kids channels, mate, on the cable box available to my kids, and not and they've got also the movies are on there as well, right? So you've got all the on demand as well, because that's all clever stuff they do now with the cable in it. You can go back and choose and pick and choose that on demand movies and whatnot. So they've got access to all this television, and all they do is watch these bloody Americans opening boxes on YouTube all the time. I don't understand.
In my house, we've got a soon-to-be 2-year-old baby in it, and literally in either our front room or in our kind of office/podcast room, there's always Octonauts on because she's absolutely obsessed with it. And bear in mind, in my office, I've got a 140-inch projector screen hooked up to our Virgin box. So she's got like a cinema size of Octonauts, and we have to listen to it every single day. I can ram off every episode of Octonauts. I know the songs, I know the storyline, but yeah, she just absolutely adores it.
Mate, you got to give us a blast of it now, ain't you, surely?
No, I don't have to at all. Not at all. They've made 2 movies of Octonauts. That's how bad it is. Yeah. Have you ever heard of Octonauts?
I know the name, but I wouldn't know it if I saw it, I don't think. I mean, my youngest at home, or the youngest kid, I suppose, in and out of the house is still Charlie. So when she was little, it was very much In the Night Garden and stuff like that. And now she's older. It's a different set of stuff again, I suppose.
Okay, so I'll go over the basic premise then of Octonauts. So these are a team that go around the ocean going on adventures, helping all the ocean critters. So you have a captain called Barnacle, who is a panda bear. You have a a medical officer called, I think he's called Puyo. He's a penguin. Then you have Quasi, who is kind of like the dog's body. That's a one-eyed cat, who is also a pirate. And then you've got a little team of I think they're radishes, or they may be little carrots. They're again, they're just like the lackeys. And then there's a big like octopus thing who wears a monocle, and he's like the brains of the outfit and like the historian. So yeah, they go along on the seafront doing like little jobs. I mean, they've cleaned the teeth of a shark. They've helped coral grow. It's every day's a new adventure for the Octonauts.
So, like this panda and this one-eyed cat and whatnot, they're under the water.
Yeah, they wear obviously like a diving suit.
What do you mean? But, obviously, yeah, they wear a diving suit. What do you mean? Obviously, they wear a diving. Look, that's the most natural thing in the world. Yeah, this cat and this panda that go around sleep. Obviously, they wear I'm the stupid one for asking. Well, obviously they wear.
They wouldn't be able to breathe underwater, would they? That makes no sense at all.
Oh yeah, I suppose.
And every time there's an incident going on, they press the Octonaut alarm, and the alarms go off, and then there's a little song to gather all the team together, and then after they've done the adventure. The captain sings a song about that particular creature that they've helped.
Oh, okay. We should have a song. We should have like a podcast anthem or something that we sing. Just going out to get us all pumped up, ready to go, you know? I'll have a think about what that can be.
Yeah. As long as it's not the Octonauts theme tune, I'm up for that.
I'm blatantly playing that at the start of the episode this week, you know what I mean?
And I'll sing along because it's ingrained in my brain. It's like muscle memory now. When you hear the song, you just know the words straight away.
Amazing. Oh, fantastic stuff. Okay. Shall we jump to Twitter at Mags and have a little look at what we've had there this week of people?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay. We put the on the Chain Wrestling Twitter account at @chain_wrestling. We asked for interactions with your siblings or interactions you know of other siblings having that may be amusing or dangerous or scary or horrible, whether that's through wrestling accidents or general actual fights or anything like that, anything that could be a sibling orientated, because this is, with Nikki versus Brie being our topic this week, Mags, this is I think the third episode in a row where we've had siblings involved in our matches that mm-hmm. the listeners voted for. I think that's quite surreal as well, isn't it?
It's just the way the chain took us down this path, though. I'm sad it took us to the Bellas farting. I mean, who wants to see sisters fart? Unless it's the kind of like a different kind of movie.
Well, like the site I mentioned last week, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I still got sent you that link. Sorry, man, I forgot.
But yeah, it's weird how we come to these different matches through the link. It's really interesting.
Yeah, definitely. And it's funny as well, going back through that spreadsheet I've been knocking up, looking at the matches we've actually covered, I'm sort of thinking, man, that's insane, because we literally just spoke about this and now we're on about this. And I love it. I love it. And yeah. I put a tweet out yesterday, I believe, that I tagged you in as well, Mags, to say basically I wanted everyone who interacts with the show. Well, first of all, everyone who listens, first of all, that's hugely important. But everyone who interacts with the show, whether it's the minimal interactions we do have on the Facebook or Twitter is the main one, obviously. We have people answering our open questions, I guess, like this week about the sibling stories or the drinking stories we've had previously. Everyone who votes in the poll, everyone who retweets the polls, everyone who interacts with the show and everyone who listens to the show. I want to make sure that I know it's okay to speak on your behalf here as well, Mags, just whilst I'm sort of doing this. I want to make sure that everyone's aware how grateful we are to everyone taking the time to listen and interact and so on. It wouldn't work if it was just me and Mags talking nonsense. So this is very much, Chain Wrestling is very much your show. You people listening and who interact with us, it's your show. And I'm really, really grateful that you make it as fun to do with Mags for me as you do.
Mm-hmm. And I can only echo those sentiments. I think the best ideas in creating content are always the simplest ones, where you don't, they're not overly convoluted. You don't need a degree to understand them. And with this, it's such a clever but unique but relatively simple idea. And I'm really shocked that no one's kind of come up with it before. But as Simon said, it just wouldn't be as fun if it wasn't for the stories and the interaction that we get with you guys online. You make this show what it is. You kind of help us down this path, and yeah, it's a real highlight of both mine and Simon's weeks.
Yeah, I love doing it. It's brilliant. And of course, it's naturally going to be a fairly simple idea because I'm not going to think of anything particularly complicated. Let's be honest. I've just been trying to celebrate the fact I've plugged a wire into something this week. You know, that's kind of how complex I get, mate. You know? Okay, so we'll get to a few stories about siblings then. We've had a few people message in about stuff that's been going on as they grew up and so on. And we'll start, first of all, with something that happened with me and my younger brother. I mean, I'm 40 now. He's in his mid-30s. This is going back quite a few years. We used to go over the field by my parents' house where we grew up. I used to go over there and want to play football, or perhaps I was going to meet a girl, or perhaps a few of the lads were going over to have a smoke or something a bit naughty, whatever, when I was 14, 15, something like that. Every now and again, my mum would be like, take your brother with you. And it was the biggest drag in the world. I mean, now, Aid, I love you a bitch, you know that. But at 15 years of age, I was like, oh, man. So one time we took him over the field and everyone was messing around, just being idiots. Just kids in the summer, you know. Yeah. And me and my brother had been watching an old VHS tape of, I'm not sure which wrestling event it was. And it basically ended up with me putting my younger brother in the sharpshooter. Wow. Again, you know, kids do these things. The most ignored instruction in the world is the WWF's "Don't try this at home," because everyone freaking does.
Yeah, that's a challenge more than an instruction.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I put the sharpshooter on our aid, turned him over. But I must have cinched it in quite tight or something. I don't know, because there wasn't a crack or anything. There was like a pop that me and him both. Ooh. Both heard a big pop, so naturally I dropped his legs in absolute fear. I'll be honest, not fear that I've hurt my brother, fear that my dad's going to kick the crap out of me when he finds out. That's what I was really scared of. At our age, basically, he had pins and needles in his legs, and he couldn't move his legs properly for not long. It was only like, you know, I don't know. It's difficult to judge because it was so long ago, but I don't know, maybe 30 seconds. But that felt like
forever.
Oh yeah, and all I'm thinking is, shit, I've put my brother in a wheelchair. Oh my god, what have I done? Oh my god, what have I done? And then, oh my god, I'm in so much trouble when I get home. You know, I thought, I'm gonna get my ass kicked here for basically making my brother paralyzed for putting him in a wrestling move. So kids, if you're listening, I mean, that's actually a good show as well. If kids are listening to Chain Wrestling with Mags and Sai, the parents of those children, you're letting yourselves and your children down. This is not a suitable show for young kids. Okay.
I mean, if parents are listening, you're letting yourself down.
Yes,
by totally. Listening to us.
But yeah, I mean, kids, if you are listening, when the WWE, WWF, or any other wrestling company says, don't try this at home, they mean it. Don't try this at home.
Yes, they do.
We had a message from our good friend, Dan Griffin.
Sponsor of this section.
Yep. And that's at Dan Griffin 21 on Twitter. He says that he got drunk and pump handle slammed his brother in a pub smoking area just to prove he could. Now, that's not just picking somebody up and chucking them about. That's not putting a hold on. That's not even like the standard choke slam, which you see a lot of these drunk fights in the bars and recreating wrestling moves tend to be the go-to. A pump handle slam. That's quite a spectacular move to do in a beer garden, isn't it? Let's be honest.
And it's, I don't understand why he had put the emphasis on the fact it was in a pub smoking area. Did he put him through a table, like a pub table?
No, it just says slamming his brother in a pub smoking area just to prove that he could do it.
Wow.
I kind of hope he went for a table. I hope he's okay. I don't want him hurt, but I'm thinking, you know.
Well, I think he's okay because he actually replied to the.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, at Guru of Matitude is his brother, I'm assuming, isn't it? Yeah, that's right, yeah.
He just walks with a limp now because his spine's just been destroyed.
Yeah. Griffin K, at Griffin K1 on Twitter. A couple of little ones here from him. He once cut his brother's eye open by countering a Boston crab. Bashed his face into a chest of drawers. So I'm assuming his brother has put him in a Boston crab here, and he's powered out of it, and the guy, his brother's gone flying face first into his chest of drawers, and he's basically cut him open. I think that shows some power there. That does.
Absolutely, it does.
Yeah, that's like Hulk Hogan level powering out of a Boston crab, isn't it? You know,
or Warrior.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty smart. Oh, well done, Griffin K. That's excellent stuff. You probably missed your calling in life if you can power out moves like that. He also had a friend AA him off a bench at school, and he sold it for ages, he's put here. In fairness, he did throw me like 7 feet, he's written. He thought he'd seriously hurt me, but I was fine. It was just a wind-up, which I suppose is quite mean, but also quite brilliantly funny if your mate is genuinely panicking that you've hurt him.
So he's got the power to muscle out of Boston crabs, and he can sell like a champ. Why is he not now working for the WWE?
It beggars belief. He could be the second coming of Hulk Hogan, couldn't he? If he can sell and has that power, he could be what Vince has been looking for.
He could be.
What?
He could be sat back at catering now, not getting on TV.
Yeah, exactly. But you get the free food, man. I'm all about the free food.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, you've got to pay for your own transport and all that sort of gumph to get it. So I don't know if it's actually free when you figure it all out, but whatever, you know. My daughter Anya messaged me to tell a story that I'd forgotten about, actually. And it's not actually wrestling related, but it's about my two middle daughters. Anya and Liv used to share a room here, and they used to quite often sleep next to each other, or sometimes if they wanted to watch the TV, they'd go into my room and they'd sleep on the double bed watching TV, and they'd inevitably fall asleep because they were young kids. Mm-hmm. The amount of times we would find Anya's head not on the pillow, but Anya's head on Liv's arse, using Liv's backside as the pillow, was unbelievable. But they were falling asleep separate, because I would see them asleep. And then at some stage in the night, Anya, in her sleepiness, would eventually move over, cuddle up to her sister or whatever, and end up falling asleep with her head on her arse. Which I don't understand how that kept happening over and over again. But on one occasion, I witnessed Liv, you know, give a bit of a rip-roaring fart and wake Anya up. So that tickled me a little bit.
That is amazing.
And I know Liv's very proud of that as well, even to this day. They're both much older now, so yeah. One other, I suppose, I could tell that's quite amusing with regards to a wrestling move or something. It's not actually a sibling, it's my dad. I saw my dad choke one of my friends once, almost like a choke slam position, and pick him up off his feet. This was because my friend was outside the front of our house winding my dad up, calling him old and all this sort of stuff, and then my dad put out his cigarette and started chasing him, just messing around, like, oh, I'm gonna get you, you know, beat him up, and all, just joking around. And they basically ran around the block. And when they got back out the front of the house, we had this little green clearing out the front of our house. My dad started clutching his chest, wheezing, stumbling a bit, dropped to his knees. And I'm shitting myself at this stage. We're quite young, me and my friend. We're like, I don't know, 12, 13. I'm absolutely terrified. I'm screaming for my mum. My mum's come running out of the house thinking that basically my dad's having a heart attack. And he drops to the floor, clutching his chest, my dad. We're panicking like hell. My friend runs over and he's literally saying the words, "Dude, I've killed your dad. I'm so sorry." That's literally the words he's using, which at the time, looking back, it is quite humorous, but at that moment it did literally describe what happened. And as he stood over my dad obviously pulling off an incredible sell job, his eyes sprang open, his arm shot up, and he grabbed my friend around the throat and said, "I've got you now, you little prick." Stood up and effectively choke slammed him on the grass, which was superb. You know, again, not siblings per se. That's my dad and one of my friends who's effectively a brother because he's been my best friend for as long as I can remember. You know, so that was a great tale there, a great moment. Obviously, my mum was fuming because my dad was pretending to be dead. You know, but yeah, there we go. Well, how about yourself, Max? Have you got any brothers or sisters, my friend?
I have. But I spent a lot of my younger life in social care, so I don't really have a relationship with my parents or with my siblings. But I do remember something that's haunted me since the day it happened. Don't worry, it's not a horrible story. But when I was younger, I was mad on the A-Team. I absolutely loved the show. And one Christmas, I received an A-Team van, but it was a van where you could take the roof off, and inside it had like a little playset, so you could put like the A-Team figures in, and you can put the lid back on and drive the van around. And it was brilliant. Absolutely,
that sounds awesome.
It really was. And then my younger brother, he decided to sit on it and popped all four of the wheels off in one go. That's haunted me, and I've spent many a year looking for a new A-Team van to replace the one that was crushed by my little brother. So,
oh, dude. Yeah. I feel genuinely gutted now.
I mean, it's probably the best story I've got with my brothers and sisters, to be fair. I loved that A-Team van. It was absolutely amazing. And that few weeks I had with it after Christmas was some of the best times of my life as a kid. And he went and sat on it and popped the wheels off. Douchebag.
Oh, mate. Okay, this is it then. If anyone out there has an A-Team van or knows of a location of one or even comes across one online, reach out to the show at @chain_wrestling on Facebook or Twitter. Let us know. Me and Mags will sort it out and we'll get it up to Burnley. How's that, Mags? Yeah?
That sounds amazing.
Just don't let any fucker sit on it. Simple as that.
Yeah, just don't crush it.
Exactly.
Hello, brother. This is NWA WCW Enhancement Talent Randy Hogan, baby. Being in the ring with the Road Warriors, Vader, Abdul the Butcher, Midnight Express, and all them guys, let me tell you, it was dang rough. But not as rough as listening to Cy and Mags on that Chain Wrestling show, brother. What you gonna do when this pair of fools, Cy, Mags, and Chain Wrestling, brother, runs wild on you?
Okay then, my friend. I guess all that's left is for us to talk a little bit of wrestling.
Yes, let's do it, sir.
Okay. Your choice won the poll this week. A very close poll, actually, wasn't it? It was 52% in favour of Nikki Bella versus Brie Bella. First of all, what the hell were you thinking? And secondly, what the hell was Wrestling Twitter thinking, putting this up as the selection? I feel screwed over, like how you got screwed over a few weeks back, Max.
Yeah, and the more worrying thing was it for a long time it was way out in the lead. So
yeah.
It seems like going into the final stretch, Doink and Marty United got a little bit of love, but this has probably made me the proudest in the time that we've been doing the show, when your daughter said, "I love you, Dad, but I'm picking the Bellas," which was brilliant. It's typical of this show.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The wife voted for the Bellas match as well. It's quite funny, actually, because I watched it this afternoon and she came in from, she went to the shop and she came in from the shop as I put the network on. And she was like, "Oh God, you're not going to make me watch the Bellas, are you?" And I was like, "Are you taking the piss? What do you mean
making me watch it?
Yeah. What do you mean make you watch the Bellas? Jesus, you voted for me to have to watch this, you know? Yeah, my daughter, Anya, I said last week, you're guaranteed at least one vote from her, because she was Nikki Bella obsessed. That was her idol. She loved it. She got Nikki Bella baseball cap, T-shirts, I think, also. She loved the Bellas back in the day. Yeah, I suppose we'll have a little look into it. I mean, it's the Hell in a Cell 2014 pay-per-view. You can find this match if you want to, if you've not already watched along with us, you want to go back and review it afterwards. I mean, I can't see why you would, but there we go. Some people do think odd things, don't they? It's the second match on the card, so I basically just press play on the pay-per-view and let it run. The opening to the pay-per-view is brilliant, isn't it? The wire mesh fencing on people's faces and so on, that little video package. I thought that was really good.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. And then you had Cesaro versus Ziggler. 2 out of 3 falls. I quite enjoyed that as well.
For the RC title? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good, man. It was good. And then it kind of takes a bit of a nosedive, I think.
I mean, one thing about that Cesaro and Ziggler match that was interesting, I mean, the action was as good as you're going to get with two of the most underappreciated wrestlers on the WWE roster. Was they went 2-0. If a 2 out of 3 falls, you usually always get a 2-1 finish, just for a little bit of like excitement, I suppose. But yeah, Ziggler wins 2-0. It was really burying Cesaro in the dirt.
Yeah, it was. It was. He was really popular as well, Ziggler, wasn't he? I don't know if he's from around that. Is he from around that way? I'm not sure, but
I have no idea.
No. And then we don't really have any build up to this. There's a brief chat with Cole and the other commentators, and then the music hits and the twins come out to start their match, don't they?
They certainly do. I mean, I've gone back and because this match is really short, I think it's about 6 minutes from bell to bell. So I actually went back and because this was in the period when I was checked out of wrestling altogether, and as good looking as the Bellas are, they weren't the kind of wrestling that would have brought me back. So I went and kind of did a little bit of digging into why these two twins were fighting. So it actually all started going back to Payback 2014. And Brie Bell actually quit the WWE kayfabe, obviously, when Daniel Bryan, her husband, was told that he had to forfeit the title or Brie would end up being fired. So she quit to take that option away from Daniel, and she ended up slapping Stephanie in the face. So then, as retaliation, Stephanie kept putting Nikki Bella in all different kinds of matches where Bella Nikki would end up getting beat up. And then we get to July, and Brie is at ringside as a fan. Then she gets slapped by Stephanie. The police get involved because Stephanie's slapped somebody who's a fan and not a member of the roster. So then we go to the week after on Raw, and then Brie says, "I'll drop the charges as long as you rehire me and you accept my challenge for a match at SummerSlam." So we go into the build-up to that, and Stephanie brings in this physical therapist who was called Megan, who ends up being slapped by Brie. That leads to Brie being arrested and having charges pressed against her. So we end up getting, after bits and bats between the two, we end up going to the SummerSlam match, and Brie is just about to win when Nikki comes out and she slaps Brie across the face, meaning that Nikki had turned on her sister and left Brie in tears. So that would then lead to going into this match at Hell in a Cell. We got interviews with the two girls. Basically, Nikki felt that she was always in Brie's shadow, and whatever Brie wanted, she got. The match ended up being, it had the stipulation where the winner would have to be the personal assistant for the loser would have to be the personal assistant for the winner for a month. And if they fail to keep up to those duties, they would be fired from the WWE. So that's where we are up to. up to the match. I've also watched after the match, which we can get into after we chat about the match a little bit.
Yeah, great stuff. That's really good sort of coverage as to where we are. That's brilliant, Max. Heel Nikki Bella is the best Nikki Bella, isn't it? I think she really suits that role, I believe, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think Brie actually works better as I was going to say good guy then, but babyface, whatever, good girl, I suppose. That's the same, right, does it? You know what I mean, though? She works better in that role, I think, doesn't she, you know?
To say that they're both twins, they both work really well as in opposition to each other.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I experienced something in the intros for the match when the ladies were making their way to the ring. I don't think I've ever experienced before, Mags, to be fair. I was happy to hear Michael Cole. Purely because he was talking over the top of that awful Brie mode entrance theme that Brie Bella uses. So I couldn't really hear it. I was really, really happy about that. I was genuinely happy to hear Michael Cole, mate.
It's the auto-tuning that does it for me. The Brie mode.
Oh, it is terrible. The music is just garbage, isn't it?
WWE's themes around, a lot of the themes around this time were so generic. I mean, even Nikki's was kind of like a generic pop song that you might have heard around the mid 2010s.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good point, actually, yeah. But I suppose it's synonymous with her now because she's used it throughout her career. Mm-hmm. But to me, it really suits her, you know?
Yeah.
I think that works really well. The Brie mode thing, I never got that as suiting Brie herself, even though it mentions her name, for crying out loud. That music, for some reason, just didn't seem to fit with Brie Bella to me. But the Nikki Bella music, I think, does fit with Nikki, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it's just a case of giving them both their own identities rather than just being as a partnership. Nikki's, obviously, with the Fearless, it really did kind of fit her. But yeah, I do get what you mean with the Brie mod. It was almost like we need to come up with something, and they just chucked that at her and it kind of stuck.
Yeah. 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 It's not great. Not great. We have Jerry the King Lawler on commentary. And I'm not going to lie, I cringed when I realized he was going to be commentating on this match.
Yes.
But he wasn't as bad as I thought he might be. It wasn't as lechy, potentially. He could have been a lot worse, put it that way, by his standards, I guess. What do you think?
I thought, to be fair, that JBL was the most lecherous of the three.
Mm.
Yeah. So King's been out-kinged by JBL.
He's been out-kinged. Brilliant. He does make one really daft statement. I appreciate he's trying to get the rivalry in the match and what's on screen at this moment over as much as possible. But Jerry Lawler comes out and says, this may be the ultimate sibling rivalry we have ever had in the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean this is a better sibling rivalry than Undertaker Kane? Brett versus Owen that we covered the other week. Edge and Christian. It's just, well, the hard is when they parted ways for a while. It's just a ludicrous statement to make, isn't it?
It was. And the commentary was, did so many of these kind of ridiculous claims. I think at one point JBL says, we've had many sibling fights. We've had brothers versus brothers, sisters versus sisters, twins versus twins. And then Michael Cole actually fact-checks JBL on the show and says, well, no, we've never had twin sisters against twin sisters before, and it puts JBL right in his place. I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. JBL had he's got a history, hasn't he, of being a bit of a bully. And when he first started commentating with Cole on SmackDown, because they were like the SmackDown team for quite a while, weren't they? Those two, they sort of, you know, they worked together for a while. There were stories about him bringing the best out of Cole because he basically used to try and tear him a new one and embarrass him every week. Yeah. And eventually Cole started reacting to it, and it kind of improved them, I think.
Yeah, I think it's always been a case of he'll try and break you down, and once you stand up to him, it's kind of almost testing boundaries. He knows that he's not going to get the better of you, and that's when you kind of like develop a better relationship with him.
Yeah. You say this match is only six-ish minutes long, so it's difficult, I think, for... You don't get many six-minute-long classics, I suppose, shall we say. And I think with Brie, she's got a bit about her in the ring. She was fairly decent at times. I think Nikki Bella, to be fair to her, is a little underrated. I think she's better than people give her credit for. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's not going to be putting on, you know, six-star matches in the Tokyo Dome or anything like that. But she was better than people give her credit for, I think, looking back on this.
Yep, absolutely. And for a six-minute match and two wrestlers who will never go down as being the greatest in ring, I actually thought this wasn't that bad of a match. We saw some pretty good wrestling. We had backslides. I think Brie went for a backslide and drop mm-hmm. kicks. There was an electric chair early on in the match. They did the obvious kind of like abdominal stretches and kind of like rest holds, stuff like face busters. There was a really interesting move which where Nikki grabs the hair of Brie, picks her up and then flips her over her back, which I thought was a very clever move.
Yeah.
But, to say that these are two fairly, fairly basic wrestlers, I actually enjoyed the action that they put on.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I think my expectations were incredibly low. Anyone who follows me on Twitter this week will know I was not looking forward to this. but I think my expectations were so low that what I saw was all right. You know, it never was going to be, you know, Omega or Card. Of course it wasn't, but it was okay. That you mentioned the missile drop kick from Brie. I thought that looked fantastic.
Yeah.
And seeing wrestling moves again, it's almost like the bridging of two eras. I think we've still got the Divas title here. We've not had the whole women's revolution thing that the WWE pushed down everyone's throat as though they invented women's wrestling. That's not quite arrived just yet, I don't think. But at the same time, we're not in the era of just bra and panty matches and so on. You're getting a little bit more actual, the ladies actually trying to actually work, I suppose, yeah, as opposed to just the TNA that we saw once upon a time. And I think this is like bridging the two eras, I guess, Max, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, it makes sense. I mean, this is a time when AJ Lee was the Divas champion. So
yeah,
it was just in that period where we were coming away from the Divas and more going to the actual women's championship. So yeah, it's definitely it's in that floating part where you can see there's improvements coming.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, because AJ Lee was great, wasn't she? And Paige, later on in this same show, she defends her title against Paige, mm-hmm. and Paige could go in the ring as well. So you're heading into, I suppose, more of a quality match sort of situation as opposed to who looks the hottest, I suppose, mm-hmm. is the two sort of things. I mean, don't get me wrong, Nikki Bella, my word, this lady is incredibly, she's stunning. She's amazing. She's stunning. Fair play to her. Brie Bella's an attractive lady as well. Good luck to them all. But if I'm watching a wrestling show, I want to watch wrestling. So it's good to see, even in this sort of a couple of years before the women's revolution, again, I use, you know, floating air marks here because I hate that term, but it's good to see them sort of heading in the right direction here, I guess.
Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah. I mean, there's one move I didn't quite like too much, really. I suppose it's a standard from women's wrestling around this time and then the years building up to this, and that's where the one lady is on the floor, her opponent stands on her hair and then pulls her hands, and it always looks, it can look quite nasty, because the theory is you're pulling the massive clumps of your opponent's hair at the same time by standing on the hair whilst pulling the person up. But this was so transparent. Nikki was doing this move to Brie. Brie put on a neck bridge, and it's just obvious that there was no pressure on her hair whatsoever. It was just basically she was holding her sister's hands whilst doing a neck bridge. And that kind of took away from the match a little bit for me, Mag. So I'm not going to lie, if I'm watching something and it's that apparent how they're doing this, that kind of ruins the magic for me, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's understandable. But I mean, we keep saying it, but these are not two classically trained wrestlers, I suppose. They were brought in to promote WWE on Total Divas and then Total Bellas. So the fact that they can still put on a serviceable match, I've got to give props to them.
Yeah, yeah. And I suppose, again, very short match. There's not masses to cover, I suppose. The finish comes with, I think it's the second time Nikki Bella hits her sister with the rack attack move, yeah, that she called.
She did it the first time. The rack attack, for people who don't know, is that you get the your opponent on your shoulders, kind of almost like you're going to give them a burning hammer, and then you just drop to your knees. So that, for me, is a very weak finishing move. But the Bree sells it like a champ, kicks out after two, catches the yes lock, which I thought was a brilliant kind of transition. But then again, Nikki, she gets a rope break, I think, with her foot, lands that heavy forearm that the commentary sold as the same forearm that she got hit with when Nikki turned on Brie, and then hit the rack attack again and picked up a very clean victory.
Yeah, yeah. You say you think the rack attack's a relatively weak finisher. I thought it looked quite good.
Well, where is the pain on the person on the shoulders? Because surely all the pressure would be on the person holding the opponent in the rack attack and then dropping to the knees.
Oh, yeah, I guess. I don't know why, but I saw it and I was like, I'd forgotten about this move. I'd forgotten that this was her finisher. So when she did it, I was like, oh, okay. I quite liked it. But, you know, I suppose logically you look at it from that standpoint, I see what you mean. But I mean,
I thought she was going for a burning hammer. I thought, Jesus Christ, these are not classically trained wrestlers. Is she going to actually do one of the most dangerous moves that has ever been invented? But luckily, she only went for a rack attack.
Yeah, I suppose the point of your shoulders going into the ribs or something, or the back, or I don't know. I don't know what I thought it looked all right, but, you know.
I mean, it worked. It did exactly what it needed to do.
Yeah. Yeah, so she picks up the win there. Nikki Bella, sorry, not she. She picks up, Nikki Bella picks up the win. Stipulation meaning then that Brie is has to operate as Nikki's personal assistant for 30 days or she will be fired.
Correct.
Max, I know you did a little research post-match. Where do we go from there?
So, this stipulation kind of went the way of a lot of these stipulations for WWE go. It worked at the beginning, but then kind of just got forgot about. So after this, we go to Nikki challenging for the Divas title. She wins, a Battle Royal, and she ends up being the number one contender. So in the lead up to her match with AJ Lee, which is at Survivor Series, we see matches with Nikki facing Brie, but Brie's dressed like AJ Lee. AJ Lee comes out and is on commentary for a while, and she causes Nikki to lose to Brie J. Lee, I would assume that she was going to be called. Then we get AJ Lee dressing as Brie and coming out to her theme music to have a match against Nikki. It just all those kind of like shenanigans to keep this story fresh. Basically, the story was revolving around how Nikki and Brie married or were partners with huge wrestling stars, and AJ was an actual talented wrestler. And one of the lines of this storyline was really got me was when AJ tells Nikki that wrestling talent is not sexually transmitted for a PG rage. So I thought that was absolutely brilliant.
That is fantastic.
So we get to Survivor Series. Brie is, I think she had 2 days left. Her tenure as Nikki's personal assistant actually ran out on the day after Survivor Series, after the Raw. So she helps AJ, she helps Nikki win the title in 32 seconds, And they do a little callback to, if you remember, when AJ was with Daniel Bryan and she gave him the kiss that cost him the title. They did a callback to that where Brie kisses AJ, and which means AJ turns into to Nikki, getting the forearm, then the rack attack, and a very quick title swap. But when we get to the Raw, Nikki has a celebration, and they just forget about the fact that Brie, as contract as the personal assistant, is running out, and they just say, "Oh yeah, they're now getting along much better. They're going to keep being friends." And yeah, it was just a bit of a damp squib ending to what could have been a really good show, because you would have expected that we would get the payoff from the heel turn, but we just never did. They both just stayed being in the characters that they were and carried on being friends.
So it's just a storyline that petered out and disappeared, and that was that, really.
The WWE way.
Yeah, there's so many of those, isn't there? Yeah. Storylines that just vanish, you know?
Correct.
I'll tell you what, we could actually make that a topic, maybe. Maybe we'll do that for next week, Max. Storylines people remember that just disappear, and we can have a little look at some of the worst or the best of those.
That we never got closure on.
Yeah, storylines that vanish with no closure, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. I reckon we could do that for next week, mate. What do you reckon?
Yep, let's do it.
Okay, sweet. No worries. Yeah, so there we go. I mean, Nikki Bella went on to be an absolute star, didn't she? She mm-hmm. won. She was number one in the Pro Wrestling Illustrated 50 top women's wrestlers the following year.
That is a mockery.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. 100%. She won Diva of the Year through Rolling Stone.
I mean, that I can understand, because it doesn't necessarily rely on being a good wrestler to be a good WWE Diva, but the PWR, I mean, that just shows that there's no... That should not be recognised as a viable outlet if Nikki Bella was the best female wrestler in the world for that year. I mean,
2015, yep.
Yeah. No hate to anyone who's a Nikki Bella fan. I know Anya was a huge fan, but she was not a brilliant wrestler.
No. She won the Teen Choice Awards Female Athlete of the Year in 2016. That's quite impressive. This is all voted for by teenage kids. Fans, I suppose. Yeah, so she's got a following, I guess. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And then
they went on to have a successful career with reality television as well, didn't they? I mean, they've made a fair few quid doing what they do, so good luck to them, I guess.
I mean, arguably, they've been one of the biggest stars in the last 10 years of WWE outside, in terms of like crossover appeal, with Total Divas and then Total Bellas. They've been huge hits.
Mm, yeah. And Nikki was one of the first big opponents for Ronda Rousey as well, wasn't she?
Yeah. She was that just after the Royal Rumble?
Yeah, it was quite early on, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big deal as well. So, yeah, I mean, it was a nice little trip down memory lane. It was a nice little, again, just reviewing something I haven't seen or people I haven't watched wrestle in a long time. But ultimately, am I going to go back and watch this again?
No.
Probably not. We'll give it our rating then, Mags, shall we, my friend? Do you want to go first or second?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Yeah, I came into this thinking this is going to be an absolute stinker. That was the whole point of picking it, just to make you watch something absolutely terrible. I don't think I've succeeded. I think it was not that terrible. It's not exactly on the levels of Okada and Omega, granted, but it certainly wasn't as poor as Sting versus Meng.
Mm.
I'm happy to go fairly middle of the road with this one. I'm going to go
4.5. Okay, 4.5 from Max. I've gone a smidge higher, actually, believe it or not.
Wow.
I've given it the flat 5.
You broke our 7.1 equal ratio. I'm gonna have to keep a note, so I owe you 0.5.
as soon as I notice it, I go and screw it up.
Yeah.
Story of my life. But no, yeah, I think I'm going to go for the flat 5. I didn't enjoy this any more or any less, I guess, than the Steiner Booker T straight jacket match.
Steiner's super strength.
Mate, reinforced cloth, he wrote then, didn't he? Reinforced cloth.
He absolutely did.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy it any more or any less. It's not something I'm going to rush back and watch again, but it's not something that was horrific, like Sting versus Meng. So I'd give it the same sort of rating, I guess. 5 out of 10 for me, buddy.
I mean, sounds fair. I just wanted to rate it down a little bit. I didn't think it was incredibly middle of the road. It was just on the lower side of average.
We just know that you're an absolute whore for any straight jacket steel cage matches, mate. That's your that's your favourite stipulation.
I cannot tell a lie. You are absolutely right.
Okay then, mate. I suppose the next step, as always, is to link to the next topic, the next link in the chain, so the wonderful listeners out there can vote to decide whereabouts we're going. Again, Bud, do you want to go first or second?
I'll happily go first.
Okay.
So we've had a lot of familial connections over the last few weeks, and I think I'm gonna keep on that kind of train. I'm going to veer away from siblings facing each other now, because I think we've done that to death for a little bit. But we know that the Bellas were basically partners of some huge, huge stars in the wrestling world. Nikki was obviously with John Cena for a long, long time. And Brie is part of one of wrestling's power couples with her and Daniel Bryan being a happily married couple. And I thought I'd go with a Daniel Bryan match.
Okay.
Because I wanted to get away from watching terrible matches. I regretted putting forward another awful match, so I thought I'd put forward a good match. And it's actually one of Daniel Bryan's most highly rated matches. He's, for a bit of context, Daniel Bryan has never got a 5-star rating from Dave Meltzer in the Wrestling Observer.
That's insane.
Which is, it's absolutely mental. But he has got 6 4-3-quarter matches.
Okay.
And 2 of them have been in the WWE. He's got 3 from Ring of Honor, 1 from Dragon Gate, I believe, and 2 from the WWE. Both, funnily enough, with the same opponent, 18 months apart. So we've got AJ Styles versus Daniel Bryan on an episode of SmackDown in the middle of last year, is one that I could go with. But the one I'm actually going to go with is the match between AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan from TLC 2018. It was a match for the WWE title. Daniel Bryan was going in as champion and defending against AJ Styles. Like I said, it's one of his 6 4-3-quarter star matches. So I thought we'd watch some good wrestling for a change and watch Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles from TLC 2018.
See, I can remember that. I've not watched it back since it happened, but I can remember that being really, really, really good. So, yeah, that's a great shape, mate. That's a great shape. I mean, Daniel Bryan's fantastic. AJ Styles is one of my favourites. Absolutely brilliant talent there on both sides of the ring. So, yeah, that's a great shape, mate. That's a great shape. Shall we see where I'm going to go?
WrestleMania 7, where Hulk Hogan saved the world.
See, it's funny you mentioned that, Max. It's funny. It's really odd coincidence you bring that up at this moment, because I mean, first of all, speaking of coincidences, do you know, obviously chain wrestling comes out on a Wednesday, as everyone knows, and it's everyone's highlight of the week, of course.
Certainly, man.
Yeah, definitely. Now, next week's episode, do you know what the date is next Wednesday, Mags?
The 24th?
That's right, the 24th of March, mate. The 24th of March, 2021. That's exactly to the day, 30 years, since WrestleMania 7. when Hulk Hogan saved the world.
Fucking fact checking that.
Have a look, mate. Have a look. March 24th, 1991. WrestleMania 7.
Oh, Jesus.
Exactly 30 years to the day, mate. Now, that's too much of a coincidence to pass up, isn't it? So I'm going to take the link of Nikki Bella being number one in the Pro Wrestling Illustrated Top 50.
you arsehole.
The very first Pro Wrestling Illustrated Men's 500 was in 1991, and Hulk Hogan won it. So with that link, we're actually, ladies and gentlemen, chain wrestling listeners and fans and supporters, that the day has arrived.
The moment you've been waiting for 4 months.
The moment has arrived, and it just so happens to drop on a Wednesday, and that's complete fluke. I had no idea about that until a week or two ago when I looked it up. The moment is here at last. We are actually going to try, if you people in Twitterland decide so, and please decide so, we are going to get Mags to watch this match that he despises one more time, and we're going to talk about the awful Sergeant Slaughter, Hulk Hogan, WrestleMania 7 main event, when Hogan saves the world. Oh my word. We're going to do it, Mags. This is it. No tease this time, no swerve, no second option. This is it.
Wow. And if it loses, it never gets brought up again. Ooh. That's the stipulation. I'm doing a Nikki Bella stipulation. It can never be brought up again.
Oh, I'll tell you what. Yeah, all right, I'm in. I'm game. I've got that much faith in our listeners that, you know, they got to chuck me one anyway, mate, because you've won three in a row now. It's got to be my turn, surely.
I mean, they've got a choice. They can have a watch along and review absolutely technical wrestling brilliance with Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles, or they can watch this absolute horror show of a match where it was literally just to prove how powerful America was and how terrible of a wrestler Hulk Hogan was.
Don't listen to him, wrestling Twitter. He's trying to influence you there.
Yeah, okay? I'm buttering up the electorate.
The story here is not the WrestleMania 7 Sergeant Slaughter Hulk Hogan match per se. The story here is making Mags watch it again because he fucking hates it. That's the story behind it. And then
I don't think wrestling Twitter would do me dirty like that.
No,
they absolutely would. They absolutely fucking would, without a shadow of a doubt.
That's it, and it's not to be brought up again if it loses. Okay, I'm taking that bet, mate. I'm taking that, and I'm gonna throw myself upon the mercy of wrestling Twitter and say it's the 30 year anniversary to the day. Come on, we can't miss this opportunity. We can't miss this.
We can't.
Okay, so those are your options. If you go to the Chain Wrestling Twitter account at @chain_wrestling, after you listen to this episode, within a few hours to a day after this episode is released, the next tweet in the thread will be the poll, and your options are AJ Styles versus Daniel Bryan in an absolute technical masterclass at TLC 2018, or we make Mags squirm and moan and listen to him gripe about a match that we have teased on the show since episode one, because that was the first time I brought it up. And it's the 30-year anniversary of WrestleMania 7, March 24th, 1991, 30 years to the day, Hogan saves the world from the evil Iraqi sympathizer, Sergeant Slaughter. And those are your options. @chain_wrestling. Vote away, people. Vote for WrestleMania 7. Vote away, people. Mags, before we go anywhere else, do you want to let people know whereabouts they can find you online?
Yes, sir. You can find me voting for AJ Styles versus Daniel Bryan on Twitter @DJKurtBear. And if push comes to shove, I may have to use podcast accounts to sway the vote. So I'm just saying, don't make me Don't make me cheat.
Don't make me cheat. I'm going to start creating. I'm going to have like 47. Yeah,
just loads of accounts. One, they all follow chain wrestling. Just one follower.
Yeah. Man, that's a big swerve as well. You saying that if it loses, I can't bring it up again. Because that's I did not see that coming. That's a real added spice to this.
If
this
the Bellas can have stipulations, then we can have stipulations.
Exactly. Okay. So that's where you can find Mr. Max. You can find me at SJP Words and the show again at Chain_Wrestling. Vote for WrestleMania 7. And next week we will be looking at storyline
WrestleMania 7.
Yeah, hopefully so. We will also be looking at storylines that had no closure or vanished or anything like that. It could be quite amusing, so get your tweets into that. I'll put another message out asking for them as well. That's it. I'm off now to superkick my sister. Mags, I will speak to you next week, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Ta-da.